This information is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is offered with the understanding that the presenters are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If legal advice or other expert advice is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.
Welcome to the San Francisco Real Estate Investing and Real Estate Financial Planning Podcast. Learn all about investing in real estate in San Francisco, California, with a combination of real estate financial planning and modeling with numbers specific to San Francisco. Plus, syndicated, more generalized recordings of live and pre-recorded real estate investing classes, not all of them specific to San Francisco. Be sure to stay tuned after the podcast for a message from our sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. I am your host, James Orr, and this is another episode in the series we've got going for Deal Alchemy. And this one is about increasing down payments and how that changes the characteristics and the returns of the deal. So let's jump right into it. So what is alchemy? Alchemy is defined as a seemingly magical process of transformation, creation, or combination. And in the context of real estate investing and real estate deal analysis, alchemy is this magical process of transforming certain types of returns into other types of returns. So for example, we talked about using a lease option where we change the characteristics of the deal and we move the returns in the return quadrants that we've got, where we talk about appreciation and cash flow and debt pay down and cash flow from depreciation and the reserves. And we talked about how doing a lease option deal moved the returns from not doing a lease option where things were in certain areas, and we moved them, manipulated the deal in order to have the returns in other areas. And today we're going to talk about how manipulating the deal by putting more down, going from 20% down to 25% down, changes the characteristics of the returns. And we're going to see that some of the returns actually improve when we put 25% down versus 20% down, but the overall return on investment changes as well. And it changes in a direction that I think most people are not going to want. Okay, so let's talk about increasing down payments. So instead of choosing to minimize down payment buying an investment property, like a 20% down investment property, we choose to put more down. So we're going to go from 20% down to putting 25% down. And when we put 25% down, we tend to get an improvement in the interest rate. If we go to the lender, we tell them, hey, look, I'd like to buy a rental property and I'd like to put 20% down. They say, great, what's your credit score? You know, what's your qualification stuff? They kind of look at everything and they say, great, well, this is the interest rate we can offer you if you decide to put 20% down in order to buy a rental property. However, you say, if you are willing to put 5% more down, you know, basically go from 20% to 25%, then we can improve your interest rates and you'll be borrowing less, so your overall cash flow should improve. And in this example, what I used is, and the interest rate improved by 0.25%. So we went from, I believe, a 6.75% interest rate on a 20% down non-owner occupant investment loan to a 6.5% down loan, still paying about 1% total in closing costs. Okay. Now, when you go from putting 20% down to 25% down, you do have more invested. You have to come up with more money in order to do the deal. Okay. Now, the other thing that happens is because we have more down, we're borrowing less and the interest rate is also improved. So the dollar amount that we're earning in cash flow, the amount of dollars we're earning each month on cash flow on this particular property has improved. It's increased. And that's because we borrowed less and there's also an improved interest rate. The dollar amount that we're earning from appreciation, the property value going up over time, is the same. It doesn't matter if we put 100% down, if we put 50% down, if we put 25% down, if we put 20% down, if we put nothing down. The property is going to go up what the property is going to go up, or it's going to go down what the property is going to go down. You know, if we have a $400,000 property, it doesn't matter how much we put on that property. If it goes up 3% a year, it went up $12,000. It doesn't matter how much we put down as to how much appreciation is. Now, how much we earn when we think of the return on our initial investment from appreciation does change. You know, $12,000 when we put up $400,000 and bought the whole thing cash is a very different return than $12,000 when we only put up $5,000 in closing costs and we bought the property with nothing down. You know, earning $12,000 on a $5,000 investment is very, very different than earning $12,000 on a $400,000 investment. So the return on investment does change, but the dollar amount of appreciation does not change. Nor does the depreciation benefit. Remember, you get certain tax benefits by owning this rental property. You basically take the value of the building, you exclude the value of the land, you take the value of the building, and you divide that by 27 and a half years for residential properties, and that's about what you earn in your gross depreciation benefit, the amount of depreciation you can deduct for using that property. And you multiply that by your tax rate, and you can figure out how much cash flow from depreciation you're earning. So that amount doesn't change based on how much we put down. You put zero down, you put 20% down, you put 25% down, you do 50% down, you put 100% down. It doesn't matter. You still get the same tax benefits from owning the property. Again, though, the return divided by what we had to invest does change because the amount we invest would change in that case. Okay? But the dollar amount stays the same. Now, a lower mortgage payment also means that you will need to set aside less in reserves. Here's how to think about that. When you think about how much we're setting aside in reserves, we're usually setting aside either 6 months or 12 months of reserves, depending on how we're investing it. You can do whatever number you want, but that's how we tend to model it. We either model it with a 6 months or a 12-month amount that we put in reserves. So if your mortgage payment on a property is lower, let's say it went from, you know, having $2,000 a month in a mortgage payment to now it's only $1,800 a month in mortgage payment because you went from a 20% to a 25% down situation. Well, now you need 6 months times 2,000 or 6 months times 1,800. And that difference means that you need less in reserves overall. So that does change as we change the amount of down payment. Because the mortgage payment changed, that means that we need to have less in reserves if we put more down, okay? And it would be less in reserves if we put more down only if the payment improved that much. So it's if you put less down, it ended up being that you, if you put more down and it meant that you had a higher interest rate for some reason, then that may not be the case, okay? All right, make sure I cover my notes here. So changes in the amount you have in reserves, therefore the amount you're earning on your reserve. So because we have less in reserves when we put more down, it means that the return we're earning on the amount of money we have in reserves also goes down. So the return we're earning on the reserves is also going down. Because when we think about reserves, we think about reserves helping us and hurting us. We think about it as money that we need to also have in order to do the deal. So in some ways, we could think of that as hurting us in the terms of return, because that needs to count as part of the investment we made in order to acquire the deal. However, we do say, hey, look, if you're going to have to put these reserves there, we do expect you to earn some money on those reserves, whether it's in a savings account or whether you have 12 months of reserves, you decide to invest in something a little bit more aggressive, like maybe stocks. Okay. So if you're doing that, if you're investing in a savings account, then the 1% or so that you're earning on your savings, that does count as part of the overall return you're earning on your investment property. Because that reserve money, in order for you to be able to prudently make the investment in the rental property, gets to be invested in the savings account. And so the return we're earning on the money that we have to set aside for reserves does also give us a return, a small return on the reserves in the savings account. Okay, and that does count. So the dollar amount from cash flow, the amount you're making on income on the property minus all the expenses, that does change. The debt pay down, how much you pay down on the loan does change because we're borrowing less and the interest rate change. Those two factors impact how much of the debt we're paying off each month and the amount of reserves that we have and the amount of money that we're earning on reserves also changes. The ones that don't change are the appreciation and the cash flow from depreciation, basically the tax benefits. So those two stay the same in terms of dollars, but however, cash flow, debt pay down, and reserves, they do change. Okay, so let's look at the return in dollars quadrant, and then let's look at the return on investment quadrant and see how this changes. So what I've got here is I'm increasing the down payment. We're going from 20% down to 25% down. The 20% down one is on the left. The 25% down one is on the right. appreciation is the same. Remember, we talked about that. Appreciation in terms of dollars does not change whether you put 20% or 25% down. Same property, just different down payments. And because it's different down payments, also means it's slightly better interest rate. But the appreciation does not change in either one of those, nor does the tax benefits. The tax benefits are the same. However, the other areas, cash flow, debt pay down, and the amount you're earning on reserves does change. So cash flow. So cash flow went from $507 per year when you put 20% down to $2,479 per year when you put 25% down. So it improved by almost $2,000 in this example, just by going from 20% down to 25% down. And the debt pay down changed. Before, when we put 20% down, because we were borrowing more and the interest rate was a little bit higher, but the borrowing more was the bigger factor here. We went from paying down $3,117 in the year, in the first year, from paying down a loan to only paying down $3,065. So what is that? About, I don't know, $52 less per year? Not significant, but a little bit of a change because even though the interest rate improved, you pay off a little bit better, pay off a little bit faster on your principal when you're lower with lower interest rates, but the amount that we're borrowing is higher and the higher one had a bigger impact so that when you put 20% down, the amount you're paying down the loan was a little bit higher. And then the amount in reserves, we were earning $2,577 when we had a 20% down payment because we had more reserves. It wasn't that the amount we're earning on the return, the percentage we're earning on return is the same in both cases, but because we had to set aside more in reserves because the payment is higher on a 20% down, that meant we earned a little bit more on our reserves, $2,577 versus $2,405. So what is that difference? That's like $172, something like that. So that's per year. And so that's not significant. So the difference overall, when you add up appreciation, cash flow, debt pay down, tax benefits, and reserves, and you compare them to the two, with the 20% down, you are earning $20,083 in the first year. When you go to 25% down, you're earning $21,831. So that's a difference of about $1,800 approximately, just give or take, okay? That's a pretty significant difference going from 20% to 25% down. However, that's not the whole picture. So yes, we earn more dollars by putting 25% down, but you would expect that. We had to put more in the deal. So yeah, our cash flow improved, but it came at a cost. It came at a cost of having to put more money into the deal itself, okay? So how much more money did we have to put in the deal? Well, with 20% down, I've estimated the total cost to close, which is going to be part of your denominator when we calculate your return on investment, is $116,211 for 20% down versus 25% down was $134,059. That's a difference of about $18,000. So you put about $18,000 more into the deal going from 20% to 25% down in this case. Of course, when you do your own deal analysis, you'll do your own numbers and use the world's greatest real estate deal analysis spreadsheet and they'll show you what your total cost to close is. You can compare doing 20% down to 25% down and see which one of the returns you prefer, okay? Now, because we've got this difference in total cost to close, these become the denominator when we calculate our return on investment. When we calculate, you know, we made $12,000 in appreciation divided by one of these two numbers. If we put 20% down, the $116,000 number, we put 25% down, the $134,000 number. So the returns are going to vary. And that's what we're showing here. So again, 20% down rental on the left, 25% down on the right. And it shows you that even though we're earning the same dollar amount of return from appreciation, we went from a 10.35% return from appreciation with 20% down to 8.97. So even though the dollars are exactly the same that we earned on this property, because we put more down, the return on investment from appreciation actually went down by putting 25% down because we had more in the deal. Now, cash flow was 0.44% per year before, and now it's 1.85%. So it's actually gone up because our cash flow improved by putting more down. The debt pay down return went from 2.68 to 2.29. So that actually got worse. And the tax benefits went from 1.6 to 1.38. That also got worse, even though it was the same number. It was the same dollar amount. Okay. And then the amount you earned on return, on your reserves rather, was 2.22, and it went down to 1.79 with 25% down. So even though the amount of dollars we earned going from 20% down to 25% down overall from all five areas of return actually went up when we put more down, the overall return on investment, including the reserves, 12 months of reserves, went from 17.28 down to 16.28. It went down one full percentage point. The overall return we're earning because we put more in the deal actually decreased. It went down. Okay. So the dollar amount went up, the return on investment went down. So basically, what I'm telling you is you're trading improved cash flow for, in this case, lower overall return on investment. That's what happened when we put more down using this kind of deal alchemy framework of thinking about how manipulating these deals impacts the overall different returns we've got. So this just summarizes what we basically said. It shows you the dollar amounts of the different returns. The blue, of course, is appreciation. Green is cash flow. Red is debt pay down. Yellow is the cash flow from depreciation. And the gray area is the return on your reserves. And you can just see this is 20% down versus the 25% down numbers over here. The dollar amount of return increased. And then the percentages, same colors, just now we're doing the return on investment. The return on investment numbers actually went down percentage-wise. So in conclusion, you can utilize deal alchemy to modify where the returns are coming from. A lot of folks, they really want cash flow. They're like super focused on cash flow. And yes, we can do things to manipulate the how we look at a deal, how we structure a deal, what we do with different aspects of the deal in order to emphasize cash flow. We can really focus in on that quadrant, the upper right quadrant of the cash flow. But sometimes we do that at the cost of overall reducing the overall return we're getting on the deal. So one example that we just talked about is changing the amount of down payment. And today we went from 20% down payment to a 25% down payment to see how that changes things. Sometimes you get improved returns in dollars, like we did in this case, but worse returns on investment. Your ROI number actually went down. So one final reminder, and that is returns are different. They have different characteristics. Some are more certain, like debt pay down. Some are less certain, like appreciation and cash flow. You know, some are more like money in the bank now, like cash flow and cash flow from depreciation. Some of it's money later, more like appreciation and debt pay down, where you have to either sell or refinance the property to really realize those returns. So we could think about returns and how they each have their own different characteristics. Some of them are taxed differently than others, and some of them you get to spend now versus spending later. So where you emphasize your returns changes the entire characteristic of how the investment looks and feels to you. Now, sometimes when we do things like manipulate the returns, it changes more than just the return. Sometimes it actually affects the investment, like we saw today when we went from 20% down to 25% down. We increased the amount that we invested. And because that also impacted the amount we have in reserves, it impacted the amount we have to set aside for that too. Actually, the amount of reserves we have went down a little bit because the monthly payment was less, and monthly payment's a major factor in how we calculate how much reserves you need. Okay, so that's it. That's all I got. Hopefully you enjoyed the class on deal alchemy and how changing your down payment impacts your overall deal and how you may choose to do this. I mean, remember, when we talk about improving cash flow, one of the strategies we talk about is put more down, because putting more down does improve your cash flow, but it comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of probably overall reduced return on investment. Doesn't always have to happen that way, but that's what tends to happen when we do this. All right, this has been James Orr. Hope you enjoyed the class. Bye-bye for now.
With home prices up, mortgage interest rates up, and rents up, but not quite enough to counteract the higher prices and interest rates, cash flow on rental properties in San Francisco is harder than ever. Book a call with the Real Estate Financial Planner to apply our proprietary 88 strategies to improve cash flow on your rentals. See the show notes for a link to schedule your call and improve your cash flow today.
If you're a real estate agent, lender, or professional in San Francisco that wants to help our real estate investor listeners, consider reaching out to learn about collaboration opportunities with this podcast. We'd love to add more value to our listeners by having you assist our investors buy, sell, and finance their real estate investments. See the show notes to schedule a call to discuss collaboration opportunities.